Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That's a clown take, bro.
On Sports Radio 810.
That can only mean one thing. Matt Derrick is here. It's time to fight!
Finish him.
It is fighting music. That's what it is.
It's time to get funky, 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 funky.
Have you ever played
funky,
Mortal Kombat?
Funky, funky. Absolutely, I played Mortal Kombat.
Well, you know what? It's a game.
Yes, absolutely.
I should know that.
That is absolutely, though, where that line's going to get drawn. Is if
you ever played Frogger?
Absolutely. Hours of Frogger. That Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, the stand-up cabinet game, man. I can talk vintage video games.
Street Fighter?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't play a ton of fighting games, but certainly...
Contra?
Certainly I can get my way through it a little bit.
Contra?
I don't think I played Contra. I played Contra.
You never played Contra? Okay.
What was that on? Was that a...
It was Sega, right?
Sega. I never had a Sega product.
Was it arcade?
No, it was Combat?
No, Contra, Sega or Contra was Nintendo, because then it was left, right, up, down, A, B, select, A,
it's
B, A, B, select,
game.
Start.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I just remember the free game that came with the Sega Genesis, Altered Beast.
Altered Beast.
Oh, I didn't have that one. We didn't get that
I only
free
had that
game.
Because it was free.
We didn't get a free game. Oh, man.
We're here with Altered Beast, Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest. Dang. Whoa, this game looks awesome.
When I stole the Sega Genesis from that kid, I didn't get the free game that came with it, so dang it. It was a free Sega, though. Just joking. I didn't do that.
I would like to thank the taxpayers of the state of Missouri because I used my scholarship money to buy my Sega Genesis. So
well, you know what? It went to a good cause.
There you go.
It went to a good cause.
Matt, did you ever see the cover art for Altered Beast?
Yes.
Was it a beast that was altered?
That is it.
I don't know, Jason. What's this make you feel? Hold on. Let me wait for my little battery thing to go away. There you go.
That is absurd.
It is a... ribald werewolf. He is this man. This werewolf has,
but it's not a werewolf. But it's an altered beast.
Sorry, yeah. Good point. Sorry, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. For
it actually looks like a cat on it, like a cat head is what it looks like.
It just
very chiseled body with a cat head.
Too chiseled. A little too chiseled for me personally.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I made a remake of this in 2005. I'm gonna play the original version. This looks fun.
Never played the original version. Did you like Altered
Party
Beast?
At Matt's house?
I have it still. Still so have I can it? Bring okay. it in.
I'd love that.
Somebody dropped off Super Tecmo Bowl for us last year at some point because we were talking about how I would smoke Shane in Tecmo Bowl. And he's like, no, you won't. Burr, burr, burr. Like, yes, I will. And so they brought it in. We just don't have the game system to play it. So it's down on my desk.
Switch has it on one of the official Nintendo emulators now. Mm-hmm. So if you ever need to, I'll bring in my Switch. You and Shane can finally have your Tecmo Bowl competition.
Done and done.
Here's the crazy thing: I actually still have my original Sega Genesis along with many of the cartridges.
Awesome.
And then for some reason, I went ahead and bought the throwback console that has
more recently.
So.
Huh.
I don't know why I did that because I still have my old Sega Genesis. But.
I've got my original PlayStation, and that original PlayStation is downstairs in the general workroom with the big TV, along with my games. They're down there because during the pandemic, when everybody was gone and the only people that were coming into work were like Lebo, Shane, Jed, who else? I guess
Rudy was here.
Jake at that
most
time,
of the time
right?
Jake would have been here. Yeah.
They would, in downtime, they would then go and play because they were the ones that were taking care of everything here. Yeah. So they had to put in extra hours. So in downtime, they would go down and play PlayStation.
That's awesome.
So they're like, well, we need something to do while we're here and nobody else is around. So
I still have my Xbox 360 hooked up for the sole purpose of playing NCAA 14.
Oh, wow. I got my Steam Deck in yesterday. And one of the first things I wanted to talk about, first of all, I can now play football games in a handheld console, which is basically the reason I actually bought it. I'm going to try to get NFL Street 2 ported over on it because I have that emulated on my laptop. But I think it's finally time for me to be the football manager that I've always dreamt of being. I can't remember which version of the game. I think it's 8 that you are the diehard on? Front Office Football 8, yes.
That's the final version, yes.
That I can now play in handheld mode, and I think I might be a fiend. I hadn't either until Matt mentioned it.
It should really be up your alley, because it's all about the spreadsheets.
Yeah, this actually...
You'd love it.
We might be able to get you in on this.
We need to have a we get you guys in on this, and we'll have a multiplayer league, and we could really go to town.
Can we be rival teams?
We can.
Oh, my goodness. Can we open this up to, like... I don't want to make this willy-nilly, but, like, can we open it up to, like, listeners and other people?
Absolutely.
Do, like, a full
league? You can have a 32-player multiplayer league.
Really?
Here's the most important
question. And it's a dynasty, so, you know, for years you can do this. I know people who, they're probably... If they're not 100 seasons in, I'd be surprised.
Wow. Just them pulling a Jerry Jones.
What is this? What is this on? What console is this?
It's PC. So it's a PC game.
Okay. All
right. You can get it on Steam.
It's PC 13, so,
Front Office Football.
Okay.
So here's
is mixed software.
The most important question I could ask you is that in this world that we have tiptoed into, would you be willing to be the commissioner of this?
I mean, I think unless there's someone more proficient, we want to step forward. I mean, I know there's a few people in town. I know my guy Jesse plays Front Office Football. There's a few others I know from the message boards that are in Kansas City. So there's probably at least 2 or 3 other people, I would bet, listening who have played the Front Office Football.
I am legitimately ready to hop into this, however deeply I need to. Now that I have it, I can get it in handheld form. I think this would have to work for Steam Deck. I can't imagine why it wouldn't. I guess it's a lot of typing. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Clicking more than typing.
I can live with that, and I could even just play it on my laptop still. But, oh, yeah, verify it on Steam Deck. I mean, look at that.
Woohoo!
We're cooking with gas over here.
There you go.
My favorite one was early 2000s, maybe late 90s NCAA, and I would always play with Clemson and Woody Dantzler at quarterback, and I would just run all over the place. And people were like, "You're playing with Clemson?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll just play with Clemson." And then Woody Dantzler was like unstoppable. It was like one of those secret things with the game, and I would call a pass play and just run around. And that was it, and just take off. And it wasn't exactly Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl, but it was ridiculous how good he was versus the player he was in real life. He was a really good player at Clemson, but just not to the level that he was.
But a monster.
Yes, not to the level that he was, shown in that game to be. So, but it was great. It used to be random. I'll take Clemson. I don't care.
In the original Tecmo Bowl, not Super Tecmo Bowl, but the original one, if you play with Chicago, tight end Cap Boso, unstoppable.
Really?
Yes.
Cap Boso.
It was just a little tight end slant over the middle.
People
and
don't remember.
It could not be stopped.
That Boso's family created Tecmo Bowl. So. They made their son very, very good. Speaking of very, very good.
You guys played Retro Bowl?
No.
Mobile game called Retro Bowl. It's like, hold on, I know that you
wanted
to shift.
I'm familiar with it. I have not played it, but I am familiar with it.
I think it's a pixel art style, so there's a little more depth to it. Sorry, I was going to try to show you the gameplay, but security footage of rookie Larnell Fleming fighting outside a nightclub has appeared on social media. Now, I don't want to find the player, so I'm going to go ahead and ignore that, and it's going to hurt my team morale a little bit. But it is very much... that Tecmo Bowl art style, but it's all on mobile. You can buy the full version for literally $1, I think. It is excellent. Hold on, we're gonna get my offense out here. You can see like the routes and stuff. It is all just very it's just touch football. There are touch screen stuff there. I threw a pick because I was playing sideways. This might be another shot clock review for a new audience. I've definitely reviewed it on AES back in the day.
Okay.
I'm gonna write it down though, because I think this would be up both your guys' alleys. It's nice to have a nice little mobile game that you can just knock out in a couple of swings too.
Absolutely. So
Speaking of the Buccaneers.
Speaking of great things, let's start with the Chiefs defense. It's been a lot of the things that have been
going
wrong.
That was the only segue I would accept there, so good job.
There was a lot of things we've talked about on the negative side this week, and there hasn't nearly been enough conversation given to the defense and how they have played so far. So what are you seeing in 3 weeks from this Chiefs defense?
It's been a lot of good football. I mean... I think you are definitely seeing the upgrades that you get with speed. I mean, this is a faster defense across the board. So that, I think, is the biggest thing. I mean, there's definitely less experience. There's no doubt about that. But the trade-off for the speed, I think, has been a real benefit. The linebacker group as a whole has been playing fantastic.
Yeah.
Nick Bolton's been great. I mean, Willie Gay was pretty darn good. Darius Harris was very solid last week. You see what happens when you've got two or three of those guys playing at a high level. You don't give up chunk plays. I mean, you're not letting guys that get it, you know, to the second level get any further. And those guys are playing really well. I mean, I think there's a lot to like across the board. I mean, could they be getting more production up front? Yeah, but you know what? I mean, 3 weeks in, you want to look at the trends. I mean, the numbers don't look bad, either with sacks or pressures. So, long way to go, but I think there's a lot to like. I mean, let's see how the league reacts and adjusts to them, but I think it's been pretty solid so far.
They are second in pressure rate in the NFL, and they are seventh in pressure rate when they bring four. Now, they've blitzed a good portion of the time, so it might be, you know, Karloftis drops back, which he's done a few times, or Dana drops back and somebody else is blitzing. They're still only bringing four and dropping seven, but they are the seventh best in pressure rate at that. When's the last time we saw that? 18?
It's been a while.
When you're talking about just your front four, just four guys are putting pressure on the quarterback that you don't have to blitz and bring five or six to be able to get there, that, I mean, it changes so much that Spags can do if he feels confident that either his scheme or players making plays or the combination of that is resulting in him being able to drop seven guys in coverage a number of times and still feel like he's going to get pressure there. They're not 32nd in pressure rate when bringing four and second in pressure rate overall. No, there's a good portion of that being number two in pressure rate from when they even just bring four.
And to me, I mean, the real benefit is that last year they were having to sometimes bring blitzes just to create pressure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now with the blitzes, they're creating plays. They're getting sacks. They're getting turnovers. That's what you've got to do. I mean, if you're just blitzing to create pressure, that's a problem because you need to be able to get that with four. And Chris Jones has been a beast. I mean, what? He's leading the league in pressures? Yeah. I mean, that's what you need from Chris Jones.
So his motor continues to run. His mouth ran a little bit too, but that's fine.
So we're told.
Yeah, it was a terrible call. Whatever.
What did you think about what Jones said when Lebo and Vahe got him in the locker room about specifically the idea that it's not very helpful for players to not know what they've been penalized for saying? Because I think I made that argument at some point this week. I find that argument very compelling in terms of a little more transparency from the NFL. You can punish Chris Jones and the Chiefs, but that doesn't do any good for anyone else in the sport.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, you know, I've had conversations with people just guessing at what he must have said and everything. And I mean, nobody has a compelling idea about what exactly was said. I mean, it could very well have been that this was something abhorrent that does not belong on a football field, as apparently the report from the officials said. But what could that have been?
I loved when Lebo asked him, and he was kind of joking and being sarcastic. He was like, was that the worst thing you've ever said on a football field? And Chris Jones said it was actually one of the nicest things I've said on a football field, which was a great line. It's absurd that it was called there, but it's one of 50 things that happened in the game that had they, you know, gone differently, we could be talking about a 3-0 Chiefs team instead of a 2-1 Chiefs team that if they lose on Sunday, they're at .500. And sitting 2-2.
But, you know, not knowing what you can say to get a penalty is very on brand for the NFL, which does not know what a catch is.
Doesn't know what a catch, doesn't know what bad language is, all of that stuff. But as we were talking about, like, guys making plays, you mentioned Chris Jones in the pressures that he's putting on. So it's scheme and also players making plays. So one of the plays in the game against the Colts, Frank Clark's sack on Matt Ryan was on first down, and that was when they rushed three guys on first down. They had, and Craig Stout pointed this out, and it was a really awesome video that he put out. Turk Wharton and Frank Clark. Turk was lined up inside, Frank Clark on the outside. They sent somebody in motion, and so when they did that, Frank Clark and Turk Wharton recognized that the running back was going to come out of the backfield a certain way. So they flipped. Turk went outside. Frank Clark went inside. And at the snap, Turk didn't rush. The right tackle was ready for Turk Wharton to come after him. Turk didn't rush. He just ran to the running back in the flat. And Matt Ryan immediately couldn't throw there. But, so good scheme, good recognition. But Frank Clark whipped the right guard's butt. Just bull rushed him, pushed him over, and then went and sacked Matt Ryan. So Matt Ryan, his first read, and so the Chiefs are dropping this many. Boom, let me get it out to my running back over here. Oh, wait, their defensive end is standing there waiting for him. Let me go to my, oh, wait, I can't go to my second read because there what was a defensive end who then goes up against a right guard who just bull rushed the guy who fell straight backwards and is already sacking me. It's scheming guys making plays. Because last year, Frank Clark, does he make that play? You know, does he get stopped? Does Matt Ryan find a second or third read there and it's a first down and they extend the chains instead of they're now second and 18 and they punt the ball on that drive? You know, like what happens on that? Good scheme, but one of the things that, you know, is happening is that players are making plays as well. And I feel like Steve Spagnuolo is as dialed in with his group of players right now in getting an expected level and being able to call plays and scheme based on what he feels like the expected level of these players are going to play at. And it's all working in concert right now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and watching that play in particular, I mean, yeah, if you can devise a scheme that gets your edge rusher up against a guard
one-on-one,
spot like that, one-on-one, I mean, that's a favorable matchup for you.
Yeah.
Because usually that's going to be a little bit of a size mismatch. It's certainly a speed mismatch. Mm-hmm. And in that case, I mean, you're right. I mean, Clark absolutely won that rep. I mean, he just bowled him over and made the play. And, yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things. I mean, I give a not just a huge credit to the team for, you know, and the players for being able to make the plays that they did, but that was a tremendous scouting report
Absolutely.
That the Chiefs had. Because,
yep,
I mean,
right.
It felt like at times that Nick Bolton must have been in the huddle with Matt Ryan because the Chiefs knew what the Colts were doing. There were no surprises. I mean, and look at it, you know, the defense only gave up 13 points. I mean, take off the one touchdown with the short field. 13 points is it. And I mean, that should win you most games. I mean, that was a pretty dominant performance.
If they give up 13 this weekend, they're winning.
Yes.
I will bank on that.
I will
say if the Chiefs give up 13 points this week and they're going to win, I think the offense is going to be better than what they showed against the Colts. Darius Harris stepped in. We had a conversation about Darius Harris last week, having to fill in for Willie Gay. The Chiefs coaches said perfectly fine. Love what we've seen from Darius Harris and his growth. And he's, you know, Spagnuolo said yesterday, he's a different guy. He's a different man. From the second he got to training camp, he just look different throughout the summer. It's a different guy than they've seen the last couple of years, and it's just grown since then. He was good. It wasn't just that Darius Harris wasn't bad. It's like, you're filling in for Willie Gay, just don't be a net negative. He made some plays. He was good. He may not have been as fast as Willie Gay, but he was in position a number of times, and as often as they were going to go and attack him, what was it, Jelani Woods on, you know, second and goal? Or was it third and goal that they had when it's like, you know, I understand why people would be focusing on Jonathan Taylor. And the tight end gets right by and you're like, oh, crap, it's a play action and it's a touchdown. It's a great call. But as much as they were going to be focusing on him, just as the Chargers were focusing on Jalen Watson, I thought Darius Harris held his own and played not only just fine, I thought he played well.
Yeah, and even on that play, I mean, I could be reading way too much into it, but, you know, you just look at it and you could see the wheels, I think, churning in Darius Harris' mind.
Yeah.
He's like, wait a minute, this looks like a problem. But he has to calculate very quickly, and I think I probably would have made the same calculation. I mean, if I'm going to worry about Jelani Woods or I'm going to worry about Taylor, I'm going to worry about Taylor. I mean, if he sees there's a problem in front of him, I mean, that's the problem you address is the one in front of you. You don't worry about Jelani Woods. So that was the one breakdown in the scouting report that I will say is that apparently the Chiefs did not realize Jelani Woods was on the Colts. And nobody
I didn't, it was his first two catches.
So,
yeah, I didn't,
you know,
I didn't.
What are you going to do about that? But no, and, you know, and Spags, you know, he talked about Darius Harris. And I had a chance to talk to Darius, I guess, during the preseason. Remember, you know, 19 was his rookie season, and he was on non-football injury all year long, so he was rehabbing completely. So we never talked to him. And 20 was his first year. You know, 21, he was just kind of, you know, and we're not in the locker rooms. I don't think he was ever on a Zoom in 20 or 21.
I don't even know if I've ever heard him talk.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I went over to him after one of the preseason games to just say, hey, Darius, I know you've been here 3 years. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I had no expectations about it. But in that conversation, I see what exactly what Spags was talking about. I mean, this is a clearly a high football IQ guy. You know, has a really outgoing personality. I mean, you can see that from, I can see why the teammates like him. He's really impressive when you get to meet him and everything, which we haven't gotten to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I see that. And you know, in talking about his leap that he made, and, you know, Spags said you could see it during the off season. You know, we often talk about that, you know, freshman to sophomore year jump, but sometimes guys need that third year. I mean, there's a lot of players who will say, you know what, the biggest year jump is not year one to year two. It's year two to year three. And this is essentially his year three because of the injury year.
A couple of other things with that. You mentioned recognition of plays, and it was early in the game. It was the play Jalen Watson made on the wide receiver screen when Chiefs were bringing a big
screens
blitz.
Screens went nowhere, by the way.
Couldn't run one. It was incredible.
No.
But on that particular play, the Colts had three to block two. Jalen Watson was one of the guys. And then I believe it was Thornhill on the back end because Snead was blitzing along with Nick Bolton. And so it seems like they got him in a position. The Colts got him. Like, they got the Chiefs exactly where they want them. We are going to throw this out. They're blitzing everybody. We're throwing this out there. We've got a wide receiver catching it, and then we've got two blockers for two guys and nothing but green pasture. But Jalen Watson stayed with Pittman, fought through the block, tackles him. But that play also, when you watch it from the end zone, as soon as the snap happens, Darius Harris is looking in and see it must have been an offensive lineman or something, because he immediately runs left, just sprints left and going towards the wide receiver screen. And that to me was amazing recognition, because when the play started, you're like, oh my God, Jalen Watson, if he doesn't make that play, he scores. Then I watch it again and go, well, Jalen Watson, if he doesn't make the tackle, Darius Harris is in pursuit and might bring him down, like, with a gain of 2 or 3 yards. That's how quick Harris recognized and got over there. Now, maybe that was the play. Maybe his job was to, you're lining up in the middle and you're just going to sprint left. But it wasn't just sprinting left. It was like a pause, and it almost like he saw an offensive lineman move and he just went right there. So maybe that's an obvious play that every linebacker makes, right? Okay, this is a screen.
I've seen plenty not make that play.
Exactly. I've seen plenty of Chiefs, you know, linebackers, whoever, not make that play and not get over there in time to then make the tackle, or, oh, I see it and I don't have the speed to get there. It was a fabulous play by Jalen Watson. It was also a play that I still think the Chiefs stop, even if Watson gets blocked by one of those guys out there, because of the recognition of Darius Harris. And it's also part of the perfectly called up and schemed blitzes that I thought, you know, Spagnuolo was calling, and, you know, L'Jarius Sneed getting there a couple of times, and the strip sack, and other times just breaking free to where Matt Ryan just didn't have time. And I think also it caused issues with their offense, because Matt Ryan sometimes didn't have time, but then also bringing the blitz, there's an expectation of he may not have time. And so am I looking at my hot read now? And, oh, wait, the hot read's not there. Which is, you know, kind of goes back to what we were talking about the first play with Frank Clark beating the right guard and Turk Wharton staying with the running back and them only bringing three when they had two guys at the line of scrimmage that were showing blitz. And they end up only bringing three. So Matt Ryan takes a snap and looks hot. Oh, wait, my hot read's not there because they're not bringing five. They're actually only bringing three. I think Spags is as dialed in so far as the struggles that I think Andy Reid has had, you know, from time to time, and Eric Bieniemy and Nagy and some of the play calls and the game planning, it seems like the offense getting a little stagnant. I've been thoroughly impressed with Steve Spagnuolo, and the excitement is about what it may look like throughout the year with new wrinkles added, because he's got the speed and playmakers now that I don't think he's had to this degree, you know, since he's been in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I go back to one of the things he talked about during training camp, which was, you know, this being, as much as we're talking about this being a more athletic and a speedy group, it's also a pretty smart group. I mean, even the rookies that they've brought in, I've picked up things quickly. And he's talked about overloading these guys and trying to figure out what they can and can't do and testing them. And clearly, you've seen, you know, this group rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, I mean, the fact that he's got a group of fast, athletic players who can handle the workload he's throwing on them, it's a great combination. And yes, typically what we have seen with Steve Spagnuolo is that his defenses get better throughout the season. So, If the second quarter of the season isn't better than the first, I'll be very surprised.
Yeah, I mean, what level of maybe impressed or maybe even surprised is the word. What level of surprised are you that McDuffie's going to miss his third game, Willie Gay's going to miss his second, and so far, I mean, we'll see against the Bucks. So far, it doesn't look like they've missed a beat without their first-round draft pick in McDuffie and one of their better linebacking playmakers in Willie Gay. And yeah. even Dana, you know, being out, who's had a really high pressure rate this year.
And I think we've talked about it, you know, even during the offseason and during training camp, that especially that cornerback group, which was the idea that, hey, you know what, they look like they might have a little something at the top, but they get one injury or two injuries, and you're going to have a lot of questions. And Jalen Watson has helped him answer a lot of those questions. I mean, he's played some very good football so far.
But he also knows that they've attacked him. Like every game, it's only been two. But Chargers and Colts, I mean, he's getting balls thrown his way. Like, they are looking his way. They are attacking him. They're throwing his way. And he has handled that really well this year. And that's a surprise. It's also encouraging. And you feel like maybe the Chiefs have a couple of guys at cornerback moving forward when Fenton walks at the end of this year. And then Snead may be looking for a big payday in a couple of years. And if that's the case, then maybe you can then change it over to McDuffie and Watson, those next guys with Cook and then whoever else. If Watson was just a guy and it's like, well, they're still relying on Baker here, and they had to bring back Mike Hughes because of what they didn't think they were getting in these guys. Yeah, that would be a concern. But the fact that not only do they trust him, they've left him on an island a lot. Spagnuolo has.
And here's the other crazy thing is we're talking about it is that, you know, of the last three seasons, what, their MVP was Tyrann Mathieu at the safety level. And yet I think that between Justin Reed and Juan Thornhill right now, I think we're seeing maybe the best safety play combined that we've seen with this team for a while.
I agree.
And that helps those corners too, because I think you are certainly seeing that these corners are playing with no fear whatsoever about what happens behind them. Because they feel like, you know, they trust those two guys, and both those guys are young, physical athletes who, and I think Thornhill in particular shows much better speed and recognition and reaction than he's had in the past. That helps. I mean, if you're out there on the outside and you don't have to worry about what's going on behind you, it makes your job a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Juan Thornhill played a really good game. I know that he got beat on the touchdown to Jelani Woods, but I thought he was really good. So 913-912-4810 is the text line.
Some big news, Matt.
Yeah, what's the news?
Altered Beasts, Beast singular, on Steam, original version, 99 cents.
You know what? That is accurate pricing. That is,
and I will have a report for you by next week. Assuming that it does work on Steam Deck, I will check when I get home.
Altered Beast.
Cannot wait. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and continue rolling with Matt Derrick. We'll look at the offense. We'll look at some things that they may need to alter as they get ready for Tampa Bay and the Bucks, and see if Matt Derrick has a read on the game and what he thinks might take place, and a prediction from him as well. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Byron Pringle was born before you were.
Yeah.
And Byron Pringle was born when I was a junior in college. I just realized I could be your father. I mean, my social life would have had to have gone much, much better.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, hanging out with Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest. We'll talk with Kendall Gammon coming up at noon. Mick Schaefer after that. We'll hear from Andy Reid and, we believe, Travis Kelce today. We were going to hear from Travis Kelce yesterday, but they traded Kelce for Creed. I guess Creed was going to go today. But now it's Kelce. So,
I wish they could have traded for T. Higgins. Looked pretty good last night. Where'd he get drafted?
Near Edwards-Alaire?
No. Probably, hey, whoa, I didn't say a name.
Probably before him because they didn't have a chance to draft T. Higgins or Pittman.
Yeah, you got to have a top 15 pick to get wide receiver help in the draft.
They wouldn't have been able to draft any of those guys or Taylor. All those guys were gone. The only guys they wanted, gone. And nobody else there on board. You got to just take whoever's left. Matt Derrick is with us. Speaking of that, though.
What's your fight percentage forecast now, Matt, after that unnecessary slander?
0%.
Oh, no, I mean, the fight percentage, as I said, was 65% of no fighting. So that means it was 35% chance of fighting.
Yeah, that's true.
36.
Okay, all right.
It increased by 1%.
Right.
So the fight probability increased by 1% with that. All right, so we kicked the field goal. We're good. All right, so
we settled for three.
We
there you go. That's how we'll start the fight.
We joke about Edwards-Helaire, right? I mean, whatever. The running game has been, you know, problematic. The offensive line was problematic against the Colts. So my question to you is, coming out of that game and now looking ahead, how much of that game is offensively like, some things didn't work out right, might have been some guys that were hampered a little bit with injuries, but it's the Chiefs' offense, they'll be fine? And how much maybe after the last couple of weeks against the Chargers and also the Colts, maybe temper expectations and the offense maybe not as good or high-powered, certainly as it looked against the Cardinals, but maybe dial that back a little bit and reset expectations for how good this offense can be?
I mean, my sense from talking to some of the guys this week has been that there's some challenging and soul-searching going on this week in the run game. And it's all around. I mean, I think Andy Reid will tell you, I mean, he basically has said that some of it is certainly he can call better plays,
mm-hmm.
and I think you're going to see that. I mean, it sounds like they're putting in some new concepts this week, you know, to do things a little bit differently. Execution's going to be part of it. I mean, and there's no doubt. I mean, Clyde missed, a pretty easy lane for a touchdown last week.
Mm-hmm.
You got to execute better, and the offensive line as well, and injuries have probably been a part of that. You know, you got a couple of guys who were banged up. I mean, nothing that's obviously been keeping them out, but Orlando's had a little bit of a lingering thing. Trey Smith has had the ankle. You know, I know Wiley got poked in the eye and came out for a play, and then he's also got a little bit of a dinged up ankle right now. But, you know, I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
And you got to feel pretty confident with that group. But no, I mean, I think it comes down to, I mean, clearly a couple of things. And one is absolutely coaching and execution. I mean, they got to be better at that. But I also think, and this is why I think that there will be some rebound with the run game this week, is that Andy Reid is going to challenge these guys. I mean,
but they are going up against the best run defense in the NFL.
They are going
through 3 weeks.
And that is another reason why they're being challenged this week.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as one of the players told me, you know, this is butt kick week. I mean, this is what, you know, the lines on both sides are probably getting a little bit as some tough love. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no hugging everybody up this week. This is the you go out and win your matchup or, you know, there'll be consequences. I mean, that's the kind of, I think, attitude they've got right now.
I don't think they needed the extra motivation. I think they were going to be motivated just fine. I think they know how they played, and there's going to be the honest self-assessment and self-scouting in the film by the individual players in what they think of their play. But I don't think it's smart by Shaq Barrett
to poke the bear,
to then say that they're going to have a coming out party against this Chiefs offensive line, and it doesn't look different than the one in the Super Bowl that was ravaged by injury, and they just had their way with that offensive line. And you heard it from Patrick Mahomes in his 6-second answer on responding to Shaq Barrett. I don't think the Chiefs are going to go like, oh, well, now let's beat the Bucks. But I think it's an extra little edge of a, you know what, bleep you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Bleep you. Let's bring it then. Bring it, because you better be ready to answer the bell, because we were already going to, but now we're pissed. Now we feel like you're challenging.
Never,
you know, how good
poke
we are.
The bear.
Yeah. And Mahomes doesn't take lightly to those things.
No.
Even if it's about the offensive line. But
yeah, like you need to light a fire under Mahomes even more. I mean that's just like the crazy thing.
You don't think he remembers going to Tampa last time he was there and how he's running for his life and those guys that were all over him? And then he hears Shaq Barrett saying that that's the same offensive line. We're going to have a coming out party against this particular team. We'll see. One other thing with the offensive line, or with the Chiefs offense. You talked about some injuries that they're dealing with. So the element of there is improved play that everybody can improve across the board and get better. It's obviously the case. You can always improve. But is there a concern that the level of play is because, you know, Trey Smith can't do some of the things athletically he did last year because the ankle is hampering him, that Orlando Brown is, you know, dealing with the knee injury, and that limits somebody who was already limited athletically and being able to move laterally, and maybe limits a little bit of his, you know, even ability to stop a rusher, you know, coming straight at him or whatever that might be, to where if that's the case, how much expected improvement can happen week to week if it's not just simply an execution thing, if it's a this is the level they can execute at based on the injuries that they're suffering from.
I mean, I think particularly from the run game, I feel like some of the issues were, and I think you even mentioned it earlier, was there's some predictability right now. They did not surprise the Colts. And Andy Reid gave up the game. I mean, he said, hey, yeah, the Colts had a good game plan against this. I mean, yeah, the Colts were prepared for everything the Chiefs were going to do on the ground. And I don't think that there was necessarily a ton of creativity there as far as the run game goes. The other issue that I've had is that, you know, especially you look at the percentage of the time that the ball's going to Clyde when he's in the game. They've had some games when it's been close to 50%.
Really?
I mean, to the point where if Clyde's in the game and you're a defense, you should expect the ball's going to him because it's either going to him on the ground or in the air. And if you can narrow your focus that much to just focus on Clyde when he's in there, I mean, that's you're going to make some plays. And so they've got to I think they have to vary that up a little bit. But I think you're going to see some new looks this week. I think you're going to see some things on the ground. I think they're going to do some things differently, some plays that they haven't shown yet. And if that can surprise the Bucs, then I think they'll have some success.
Are the wide receivers not doing their job right now? Is that part of the issue that they're not getting open, they're not winning matchups? This is the Chiefs without Tyreek Hill. This is what happens. Are you seeing that when you watch the game back and the All-22 and things like that of okay, yeah, there's going to be some issues because these wide receivers aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing?
I don't know if it's that necessarily as much as it is still, obviously, you got a lot of guys who are trying to figure out what they're doing and learning the offense and all of this. I think you certainly saw probably a few plays and even veterans and guys who've been around for a while who maybe weren't doing what they were supposed to do on every single snap. I mean, that can be a problem. But I still contend, and I could be completely wrong, and, you know, Andy Reid may just say, hey, you're full of hooey. I thought Patrick Mahomes in the first half spent way too much time looking downfield. I mean, the eyes just looked like they were just doing nothing but looking for big plays.
Wasn't that the game plan, though? Do you think
the
game plan
well have been the game plan was to get these guys down, take some shots early, and get these guys and put them away? And if that was the case, it was a terrible, terrible game plan.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it was a good game plan. I think that was part of it. I think it was we're going to look second level. We're going to look over the top. We're going to do some of those things. Run the ball certain ways, maybe not as exotic or as creative, but we're going to get some chunk plays here because early in games, Patrick Mahomes is not one to turn down a little swing pass to Edwards-Helaire or take 7 or 8 yards early in the game. That was second down of the first possession. That has typically been Mahomes will just take the short play. Let's get rolling. He's not somebody that, even though in his career, he's had a tendency to turn down the easy stuff to go and make plays to the next level. Early in the game, it's one of those to where, okay, this is the play, this is what we do. This is Juju Smith-Schuster, 6 yards here. Okay, Kelsey's running a little curl right there. Okay, we got Edwards-Helaire out of the backfield, swing it over there. Let's just keep the thing moving. But he turned it down. It was wide open, turned it down because he was looking for the next level, and I think that was game plan. I think that's part of what they wanted to do against the Colts.
And when we were talking about the brutal efficiency of what this offense looked like in the preseason, it wasn't because they had 3-play 75-yard drives. It was because they were having 10-play 75-yard drives and just brutally moving the ball downfield. You do that against the Buccaneers, you're going to win. I mean, if Mahomes runs for his life and scrambles for 500 yards looking for guys downfield and gets no pass protection, you're not going to beat the Buccaneers.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when, you know, you saw the pass protection was breaking down. And maybe they adjusted in the second half, but they only scored 3 points. They got down in field goal range a couple times. But you got to punch that in when you're at the 2-yard line on offense to score. But he is now back-to-back weeks kicked a field goal on 4th and goal from the 1 and 4th and goal from the 2, which is also an indication of what Andy Reid thinks of his offense right now, that he's choosing those instead of having trust that, we'll get it in. We're going to be able to score here. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get Matt's thoughts on the Chiefs and Bucks on Sunday and a score if he has one in mind or if he wants to throw a dart blindfolded at what the score might be. More Zone rolling along next, hanging out with Matt Derrick, Chiefs Digest. This is The Zone, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Bonjour, Laurent. That's not the best my French accent can do.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, hanging out with Matt Derrick, heading up until noon with Matt, Chiefs Digest. We'll talk with Kendall Gammon coming up at noon. Mick Schaefer after that. Chiefs press conferences. Andy Reid, Travis Kelce in the 1 o'clock hour. Cuts before the show is over as well. I do want to pass this along today in Tampa. Todd Bowles talking with the media saying that limited in practice today. Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, and Donovan Smith, they were all limited. He calls them all game-time decisions on Sunday for each of Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, and Donovan Smith. Bashaud Perriman is out, will not play this weekend. And he's had the last 2 weeks combined 100 yards and a touchdown. Not each, but combined in those a couple of games. So he's been somebody that Tom Brady has been throwing to. They get Mike Evans back. They may get Chris Godwin and Julio Jones back as well. But those guys are going to be game-time decisions along with Donovan Smith, limited in practice all week. Matt, obviously that can change things one way or another if all three of those guys play or none of those guys play. But what do you think happens on Sunday if you've got an idea or a feel or a complete and total guess and shot in the dark and maybe a score in mind?
This is a very difficult game for me to handicap because I truly feel like it could go either way. I mean, I think you got two teams in similar situations coming off disappointing losses a week ago. Their defenses are playing very well, but the offenses are coming back from one-week games. Calculating everything in, certainly with what has been happening off the field in Tampa for the players and the coaches, everything that's going on there, it's home field advantage. You feel like on a Sunday night you should be going with the Buccaneers, and I have felt that way all week. But closer to the game time we get, the more I think that this game, I feel like that there's a little bit more momentum on the Chiefs' side, and I think that they're going to pull it off. I don't feel like this is going to be a run up the down the field. I think it's going to be the defense is battling it out. I think the Chiefs eke it out 23-19.
23-19.
Movie reference. Anybody? Anybody? Beards?
I got it.
There's a zone movie reference, everybody. 23-19. That's a 23-19.
Jason, you have kids. You should know this one.
You have kids, Jason? What's a 23-19?
Is it Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
It's a code for whenever something from the human world has infiltrated Monsters Incorporated.
Oh, Monsters, Inc. I should know that. I should have known that one.
Seen Monsters, Inc., right?
I have not.
Yeah. Really?
No.
That legit might be on the list in, like, kids' movie territory. Legitimately good.
I'm disappointed in myself not knowing that. As soon as you said Monsters, Inc., I'm like, oh, yeah, duh, it's 23-19. You're right. Everything shuts down at 23-19. You're right. My bad. Harrison Butker not practice.
Turn on your mic, Beers.
I don't think he's playing.
Yeah. Also, MVS was back with a helmet. This is per Teicher.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
MVS sometimes Beards has his real big burnout moments on air, but they very rarely happen in the talk back and just totally derail the show.
It was one of them.
That was one of them.
Butker's not back to kicking with full range yet, so no.
Matthew Wright,
I think will be
three
your kicker.
Kickers in 4 weeks.
Scale 1 to 100. Level of confidence in Matthew Wright.
10. Beard said 10 in our ear.
Beard has been doing the best show out of all of us today.
Beards is on fire.
Matt, you're the man. Thank you, sir. Kendall Gammon next.